I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, Clone War fans, it's Lion King 1.5, Order 66. I'm Ryan Nilsson. How are you doing? I'm joined by two incredible co-hosts. First, she's an author. She's an Ahsoka stan. And she just got her copy of Queen's Shadow. She is Rachel Goodman. How are you doing?
Hey, I am doing amazing. I got my ebook copy of Queen's Shadow. I have the audiobook already, but for May the 4th, in honor of that, if you haven't done so already, they are giving out Queen's Shadow for free until the 8th across most major book retailers.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. So it's not on Apple, but it's Kobo, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, or Google.
Or Google. And if you Google search Frankie Altieri, you'll find the man down here. This is Frankie Altieri, mall stan, Star Wars fan. How are you doing, Frankie?
Doing well. And I need to get on that book right away. I'm really behind on the Star Wars novel, so I need to get on that.
Well, we're all over Clone Wars. And, I mean, this season goes without saying. It's been incredible. We're having an amazing time talking about it each and every Friday morning. But this is the Clone Wars After Show. This is Season 7, Episode 11, Shattered. And we have a ton of amazing stuff to talk about today. We're going to be breaking... See, even the dog's excited. We're going to be talking about everything from Maul leaving Mandalore in a muzzle. We're going to talk about that extended hologram scene we got in Revenge of the Sith, as well as Ahsoka and Rex having somewhat of an amazing friend moment that turned pretty sour pretty quick, and then getting that chip out of Rex's head. Let's just go with overall thoughts real quick. I'm going to go to Frankie first. Frankie, what'd you think after this episode ended?
Oh, it was incredible. I think they just doubled down on all of the parallels with Revenge of the Sith. I think last week's episode was better, but this was still incredible. From top to bottom, all the voices from Revenge of the Sith, of taking those audio clips and bringing it into the episode, added such a different nuance and made it feel like we were watching deleted scenes from Revenge of the Sith. And I believe the original cut was 4 hours, so I feel like in a different timeline, this would be in that 4-hour cut. Just incredible seeing, you know, Ahsoka basically kind of put on her detective hat, trying to figure out how to save Rex and get her back on her side. And as we saw in the end, she just thought like, oh, maybe this is just the squadron is infected or something. And as Rex reveals in the end, everyone's got it. The entire Grand Army of the Republic is out to get the Jedi. So this was really an incredible episode.
It really was, Rachel. I mean, it was an emotional episode, wouldn't you say?
It was very emotional, especially when we have Ahsoka looking out the bay window and just feeling Anakin and feeling his turn, especially as it relates to what we see in Rebels. And I just want to give a shout out to the character Ursa Wren, because she did have a cameo next to Bo-Katan. And I loved the fact that we got to see her again. This isn't the first time in Clone Wars, but once again, she reappeared. And we had her doing a very, very iconic shot of Bo-Katan as Ahsoka's walking to leave. And eventually where we end up seeing Order 66 executed.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I think that my favorite part was definitely Ahsoka hearing what was happening in her head. And also Maul's reactions as he is held captive, because we know that he knows. We know from last episode that he's been having visions, but we can also feel what's happening, especially because we know right after everything with the council, we know where we're at even before Order 66 was executed.
Great points all around. Yeah, for me, this episode, just continuing the streak of incredible storytelling that they're doing with these last four. I'm going to double down on the statement from last week. I think they have made Darth Maul not only... He was already iconic just due to the makeup, the look, him being a Phantom Menace, but I honestly think they have made him a top three villain in the Star Wars canon. He has just so much depth to him now. There's so much badassery. He is amazing. This show...
Good word, by the way.
Thank you. This show has really... And it's these two characters, Ahsoka and Maul, that they have just risen up. And just, you know, you look back 12 years ago, after the Clone Wars movie came out, Ahsoka was the most annoying character on screen, maybe behind Jar Jar. And then you go, Darth Maul is the most underutilized villain in the Star Wars pantheon. Now I'm feeling differently, and they're two one of my favorite characters, and I just feel like we have a whole new perspective on them. Guys, we can kind of go through leaving Mandalore, but wow, I was getting some Hannibal Lecter vibes putting Maul into that old, what did they call it? It was an old Mandalorian tank, almost
like a jail contraption that was used to contain Force users
in the past
from, you know, centuries before. And Bo-Katan kind of cracked a joke of like, oh, this is the last one. They were outlawed. So that definitely came in handy. And it was really cool because it was just kind of showed how much they feared him. I mean, he's got a muzzle on, like you said. He's got both his arms strapped in there, and he's literally in like a cardboard box. Not cardboard, but you know what I mean. And when he finally gets released, he almost gasps for air. So claustrophobia.
Show how much they feared Maul, but also, do you think, Rachel, do you think this was alluding or referencing just like times near the High Republic era? Because not only did this establish like, oh my gosh, they did this to Darth Maul, but this is just how they feared the Jedi back in the day.
This is what I think. Because of the push to go to the High Republic and because of what we're going to get in August, I think that everything that we're getting with this is an Easter egg for something we haven't yet seen that we're going to see. Like Bo-Katan saying, oh, well, this is what we used to have a lot of these for people like you to, you know, contain your powers. I think that's what we're going next with Star Wars. And that's why she said it. But also I was feeling that carbonite prison chamber, even though we didn't get the carbonite element, obviously, but it looked just like the contraption that held Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back without actually using the carbonite. So that's where my mind went. I was like, okay, the outside, the exterior looked exactly like it.
And they leave Mandalore only to have Bo-Katan and Ahsoka have this just awesome bro handshake where you can tell like they have a relationship that they'll probably meet again. But now they're on the Star Cruiser, they're heading to Coruscant, going light speed, and I feel like the episode slowed down here, and I was like, okay, so this is going to happen here, isn't it? Like, we're not going to make it to Coruscant. We're not going to... This is going to happen mid-hyperspace travel. And, of course, Rex and Ahsoka share that conversation just about, like, what does it mean for the clones for the war? The war's over. What's that going to mean for them? And, you know, that they're friends. I just want to break down this conversation as well as what happened after. I'm going to go right back to Rachel. This was the last conversation they had before the order was executed. Share me all your thoughts.
One, I know that they did it. They wrote it in on purpose that they would be talking about how they were close friends and nothing was ever going to like break that bond. And so this was a whole moment. I actually loved that it slowed down because of what we knew was going to happen, and we knew how fast paced it was about to get. We also know that from this point on, we enter the tragic moments of the saga with Anakin's descent into darkness and madness. And so I feel like we needed a moment where it was slow so we could take a breath. And I appreciated that we got all of that from Rex and Ahsoka, because as we know, everything is about to change after this moment. And when we hear that Rex is going to go to the briefing, yes, it's all done.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I just realized one thing I teased up top. We did bypass that hologram meeting that they had with the Jedi Council. So sorry, just to backpedal a tiny bit. But we got, before they shared that amazing moment, we got that Revenge of the Sith hologram scene. Mace Windu saying, I sense a plot to destroy the Jedi. Like, obviously foreshadowing what happens 5 minutes later. and this is the word-for-word scene from Revenge of the Sith. But Yoda stays on the call. And I just want to point out one thing really quickly. Mace, this scene changed my way of looking at Mace Windu. I think forever, permanently, perhaps, because he throws the ultimate shade I've ever seen, maybe a Jedi throw at someone, where she goes, "Oh, what's wrong with the Senator? What's wrong with Palpatine?" And he just goes, "It's none of your business, citizen."
Like, well,
whoa.
Here's the thing with Mace. Obviously, the reason he said it like that is because Ahsoka said, "I am not a Jedi, ... not yet." And she said she called herself a citizen.
She did.
She said, so I feel like, yes, I agree. It was definitely shading her. But also, I feel like it was Mace showing an emotional response to the fact that she was not going to do any. She admitted she didn't do any of it as a Jedi. She did it as a concerned citizen, which I didn't like it, but I understood what he was doing.
Frankie, what do you think?
Well, it's funny. Now I see why Mace rubbed Anakin the wrong way so much. Like, that was such a savage move. But you can finally see where they make the cut in Revenge of the Sith, right? When Ki-Adi Mundi basically says that you have to leave the Senate as the Chancellor. And you see kind of the extended cut of that scene that is so unique. And I think the perfect moment in that entire conversation, like you said, Ryan, is when it's just Yoda and Ahsoka. And he's like, "More to say, have you," which is a reference from The Phantom Menace. And she has a chance to tell him what Maul said about Anakin and his visions and him being groomed to be Dooku's successor. And she doesn't say anything. She almost is afraid to of what will happen because she wanted to talk to Anakin about it directly, but he had already engaged.
Great point, yeah. And even watching that scene, you go, wow, she had a chance to prevent all this, perhaps.
Well, it's interesting, too, because on YouTube, they will show you all of the cut scenes from Revenge of the Sith. And so we know from that and from the DVD special that there is a scene. There's more acknowledgement that Palpatine might be
the Sith Lord.
The Sith Lord than what we actually get to see in the movie. So that it's been, just from seeing the deleted scenes, it's been confirmed that there's more suspicion. So I found it very fascinating that we kind of got more of what we didn't. I don't think we had this as a deleted scene, but we got it as like an extended scene that backs up some of the deleted scenes that we did not actually get in the film.
It makes the turn, it makes the Order 66 feel more tragic, you know, because in the context of this show, if you haven't seen Revenge of the Sith, which I don't know why you'd be watching this show if you haven't seen it, that might feel like it came out of nowhere. They sort of allude to it, I think, the past three or four episodes that something's coming, but it would feel a little abrupt if you weren't familiar with the movies. And I think that scene made Order 66 feel all the more tragic for her, because not only is it the clones turning against her, but she had an opportunity to inform the Jedi Council, give them a heads up, and unfortunately it just didn't go that way. Again, we're skipping around a little, but we had that scene with Ahsoka and Rex, and then we get the Revenge of the Sith audio. It's Samuel Jackson. It's Hayden Christensen. There's yelling. I mean,
Ian McDermott.
Thank you, Frankie.
Yes.
And then we get Execute Order 66, and holy cow. Rachel, you were saying earlier your favorite moment in the episode was the audio track in her head.
It was because I feel like it was also a callback to Rebels, since we got that scene with Ahsoka in Rebels first before we got this, where anyone who has not seen Rebels, just to briefly summarize, it's the moment when we see Ahsoka and she is on, she first runs into Darth Vader and she can feel so deeply that this might be Anakin. She doesn't say it, but she can feel it and feel the connection so deeply that she actually passes out. And yeah. I feel like that this moment that we got in Shattered was a callback to that. Her connection to Anakin is so strong that she feels what he's feeling. And it's not to say, I mean, this is obviously not a dyad in the Force, but I feel like it's the next level down that you can only have with, you know, share between a master and Padawan.
See, what Shattered, that's a great point, Rachel. What Shattered me wasn't necessarily the audio or her hearing Mace, Anakin, the Emperor. It was Rex tears coming out of his eyes, like an internal version of himself fighting back that chip and just trying to inform her and help her, like, fives, and then just being overwhelmed by the order. I felt like that was a scene I could never have dreamt up. Like, I never expected something like that. I expected him to maybe have, like, the chip out before the order happened, or maybe we don't get anything like that at all. That articulated their relationship so well. Like, they're so close. They have such a deep care for each other. They've been through hell together. And him just fighting back tears. Oh, my gosh. Frankie, what did you think, man?
Well, they start it right at the beginning when he drops his helmet. Like, he responds, like, yes, Lord Sidious. But, like, his body is fighting his brain to turn around and attack her. And like you said, he draws both his guns. He's crying. And it's that last little bit of before the chip, like, really takes control. That's when he kind of spits out the, you know, fine fives. Because he knew that's what the chip was. Because remember, he was so...
he was convinced suspicious. It wasn't really necessarily a thing. He was suspicious, though.
Yeah, he was suspicious because he knew it had a purpose, but he didn't know what. And we saw that again in the recording from the ship. So, you know, at that moment, he kind of has this, like, oh, no, this has been the purpose the entire time.
Right.
And, you know, and it's also interesting how Ahsoka, she has no problem killing other clones, but she, on purpose, guards Rex. Like, she tried to shut the door, so she kind of almost, like, harbor him to kind of shake him, like, what's going on, because she didn't want to kill her friend.
Right. It's an amazing scene. And just in tune with that, Darth Maul. Go execute Maul on Sector 7 or wherever. And Maul gets out and Ahsoka saves him. But
great scene.
It's a great scene. It's not necessarily a rescue mission. She just needs him as a diversion. Guys, we got a Darth Maul hallway scene that was so reminiscent of Rogue One. But there were no lightsabers. And dare I say, was it more badass? I mean, Rachel, what did you think?
Well, that, and not to jump ahead, but also once Ahsoka gets Rex, we had so many Rogue One references, but the one that really stuck out in my mind is when Ahsoka starts to try to find the inhibitor chip, and she goes, I am one with the Force is one with me, and then Rex starts chanting it back. But yeah, like that, the hallway scene, I just love anytime we get Maul in general. He is such a rich character that it is just the scenes that we've had with him are some of my favorite. Even the dynamic between him and Ahsoka, I thought was very well written.
Completely agree. Frankie, that hallway scene, man.
Well, I have to rewind a little bit. The dialogue between Maul and Ahsoka when she frees him, and he's like, all right, well, follow my lead. She's like, I'm not here to team up with you. Like, you're just a distraction. So well written, the banter back and forth, and he's like, I think he basically asked her for a lightsaber, and she's like, no, I'm not rooting for you.
He's like, give me a chance, give me a fighting chance.
But I would argue this is more badass. I mean, when he took the sheets of steel, decapitated two troopers with him, and then he's smashing the walls, and then he pulls the guns out of the hands in the same way that Vader did to those rebels in that scene, and then he took the clone trooper before that and put him against the ceiling. So there are specific moves in there that are exactly the same as what Vader did. And you just kind of see the same vibe of the fear and the, you know, that group of troopers are so overwhelmed. And just to cap it off, this was probably the most violent scene in the whole season. And Maul kind of grabs him by the arm with the Force, pulls him back, chops it off. And he did that for a reason, because he wanted to hear the comms of, I think it was Rex, basically said, we want to draw him to a new position. So I think in the next episode, we're going to see kind of this trap they were setting for Maul, but he's the wise to it. So it's going to be interesting how he gets out of there with no lightsabers and just, you know, basically beating people with sheets of steel from the wall.
Wow. Just you dissected that beautifully. I completely agree. Not only did it look amazing, but there was a reason behind every action, and including chopping the arm off, which was so Star Wars. That's as Star Wars as it gets. At the end of the episode, what Rachel was just talking about, Ahsoka gets help from droids, and they are trying to read Rex's brain. I thought it was hilarious that those three droids just stacked up, and they were able to carry Rex to the other room.
Like just a moving couch. Just, yeah. Like, floating.
a moving couch. But Rachel just, she said it beautifully. I'm one with the Force, Force with me. Maybe the most overt reference to Rogue One. And that saying just became that much more important to me. I have a shirt that says that with like Carrie Fisher on it. What an amazing scene that's so Star Wars. And then we learn at the end, Rex informs her this is across the board. Order 66, we're all hunting the Jedi. Shattered, guys. What a great episode. We're going to go to our special segment real quick, throwing it to Rachel. Rachel, who was your MVP of this episode?
I'm going to go with R7.
That's who I'm going to go with.
Oh, nice. Okay. R7, yes. Well, then you know why. Basically, because R7 not only was one of the droids to help. First of all, the fact that the droids were helping Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. That's why I love droids. But two, it almost felt like her, like, loyal pets, too. Like, the way that they were just kind of around her, like, hey, what's going on? But R7 and Tim trying to scan and find the chip. Eventually, he does, thanks to Ahsoka. But, you know, just the fact that she had the droids, specifically R7, on her side to help her, really saved her and saved Rex, too.
Absolutely, I agree. He's totally my MVP as well. you don't change Rex without R7. Distract the clones without him. I thought that was, it was kind of out of nowhere. It's one of those Star Wars cute level factors, but I thought they used it so well. Who was your MVP, Frankie?
I have to go with Ahsoka. She had to play defender, detective, warrior, all in one. This entire story, this episode rather, was hers. And it was about survival. It was about making unlikely alliances, or at least kind of, sort of, with Maul. Yeah, absolutely, Ahsoka. I think the next episode, I'm hoping the beginning, they get off the ship just so we can see the more widespread references about Revenge of the Sith. Maybe even a return to Coruscant. I would love to see Maul and Ahsoka.
Well, go right into predictions. What are your predictions,
Jedi
Frankie?
Temple just burning. That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's go right into predictions, like you were just saying. You think they're going to Coruscant next week?
I think so. It would be such a wasted opportunity if they didn't, because it would be a good spot to kind of see Maul saying, I told you so, as well as kind of Ahsoka seeing all of the chaos in the heart of the chaos, which is the Jedi Temple on the capital at Coruscant. And I think that's kind of when she flees, because she sees everything. I also think they may use the, you know, they sent out that beacon or whatever, the hologram of... to bring the Jedi to the temple and lure them into that trap. I think that may be a part of the plot for next episode. I'm just spitballing here. I don't know anything, but that would be really interesting, because that was such a huge part of Order 66, was that the deceit of that trap. Oh, the war's over. Everyone hang out at the Jedi temple. And it was a trap. And that's where Anakin and the troopers were.
And Caleb Doom.
Yes.
I feel like we're going to get him again, and we might see, kind of going off of Frankie, we're going to see the beacon, but then we're going to see the reverse go out, warning people not to actually show up.
The Obi-Wan,
But also, Caleb Doom was the one who kind of implanted that idea in the first place, so I feel like we're going to get more, a little bit with him as like a, you know, a cameo, and then I don't think that Ahsoka is going to end up actually getting to Coruscant. I think that the idea might be to go there as a natural like instinct. What I do think, though, and this is going back to Rebels. In Rebels, when we see the troopers again, the ones who have pulled out the inhibitor, I think that Rex is going to go to the rest of them and somehow talk to them. And just by talking to them, they're going to pull it out. He's going to convince them by pleading with them as Rex and as their commander take the chip out, because they said in Rebels specifically, we all voluntarily took the chip out. So that's where I think that's coming from.
That's such a great point.
Yeah.
We have to get that next week. That is something because that has been planted in there. I mean, and by the way, guys, it's not next week. It's 3 days away, because we're getting this final episode
on May
the 4th, which is Star Wars Day, of course. Really excited about it. We're going to be doing a ton on the Popcorn Talk Network channel just around May the 4th. I think we even have like an episode 9 Rey stunt double coming on. But guys, prediction-wise for me, I think what similar to what Rachel was just saying, we're going to get some kind of montage at the end of the last episode. And I think we're going to see a little bit past Revenge of the Sith. I think we're going to see, like, right before Rebels, because there is this gap after the Ahsoka Tano novel and Rebels that we just don't know what's going on quite yet. And I think we're going to see a continuation of that conversation that Ahsoka was supposed to have with Yoda. I just think it's going to be through fresh eyes. Who knows? That might be wishful thinking. All I know is we've gotten so many incredible moments from this final season so far. I'm equally excited and devastated that it's coming to an end on Monday. Man, final thoughts, and where can we find you, Rachel Goodman?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman, or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. I'm hoping for more, like they hinted at on Twitter.
Exactly. Frankie Altieri, thank you so much again for coming on, man. Final thoughts, and where can people, you're welcome. And where can people find you?
You can catch me on Instagram at Frankie Altieri and Twitter at Frankie Altieri 84.
You guys can find me at Ryan Nilsson on Twitter, at Ryan Nilsson _ on Instagram, and on PS4, because I'm just playing the heck out of Fallen Order and Battlefront 2. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you on Monday.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.